Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Jenkins Church. Any visitors this morning? Notice maybe some visitors over here. Kathy, you have some visitors?
Okay.
Well, welcome. Anyone else? Any other visitors? Right. Any announcements? Any announcements at all?
Newsletter articles as soon as possible. Probably print toward the end of the week. Our plans are real firm right now.
Any other announcements? Okay, we'll bow our heads and prepare ourselves for worship. Any deletions or additions to the deletions or additions to the prayer list? Right.
I have a first cousin, Philip Phelps, P-H-E-L-P-S. I found out from my mom that he has cancer. He's just a little less than 2 years old, and they were playing together. People were showing him one of my favorite cousins. And I'd ask you to pray for him. Quite diligently for him. I'll see him if Lord willing next this coming Saturday. We're having a reunion, so please pray for him.
Anyone else?
I do have a praise though. From shore to shore, from sea to shining sea, from the mountains to the valleys, all over this great land. We have freedom because of God's grace and His mercy upon us, and because of all the men and women who serve in the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the Marines, the Coast Guard, the waves. You are a member of those, or have ever served in those. I thank you, and this church thanks you from the bottom of our hearts.
Amen.
Because freedom is not spelled F-R-E-E-D. O-M, it's spelled C-O-S-T-L-Y. It's costly. Lives are given for it every day. Thank you.
Any other additions or deletions? Okay.
Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful today that we are alive and well in this country. Those who have made sacrifices for us have not done it in vain. That we can gather together and worship you in freedom and safety. And Lord, we can get your word and we can read it. There are many places in this world that cannot read your Bible before we read. So Lord, we thank you for those things today, and most of all for all those who made that ultimate sacrifice for us to have this. And Lord, the sacrifice that you made. You sent Jesus here to die for us. That we can have the ultimate freedom of our spirits to dwell with you forever. So Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for being able to come to you and communicate our needs and our concerns for those who are suffering from disease and heartache. Lord, we pray for them. We ask that you would fill all their needs. Send the Holy Spirit to guide our thoughts and our words and our songs today as we lift ourselves up to you. May that Holy Spirit translate everything we say and do and think into a holy language that will be acceptable to you. Now, dear Lord, as we close our prayer, we ask that you would help us to join the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debts. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever.
If you would stand and open your bulletins, I'll call to worship. Call upon God's holy name.
For in calling we are saved.
Listen for the wind of the Spirit.
For in listening we will hear the Spirit bringing to life.
Hope is the promises of Christ.
We wait, we hope, we worship, as Christ comes to us even now in the power of the Spirit.
He'll be hymnals of page 259.
Thank you.
Spirit, gather all people together that all may know of your powerful and life-giving love. Have our prayer and confession in silence. Words of assurance are, all who call upon God's holy name are saved. As we call, God hears, God loves, God forgives. In the name of Christ, we are all forgiven. Thank be to God. Our offertory sentence this morning is, O God, we offer ourselves and these gifts in gratitude for all your gifts. May we use them to spread the word of your love, your grace, and your call to all the world. If our ushers would please come forward.
Thank you. boys and girls this morning. But that's okay. Come on, Jordan. We'll be glad to have you up here with us. We're going to talk about... We're going to talk about a very special, special day. Sit right there. That's happening, that we observe tomorrow, which is Memorial Day. And that's a tribute to all the people who paid the price for our freedom. Now, I know that a lot of you haven't been to school yet and studied history, but you will study this. And I want you to try to remember this. We began observing Memorial Day in 1868 because of all of the men and women that died on the battlefields of the Civil War. And now we incorporate into all the men and women that have fought in all of the wars and the battles, and also to the people who are still serving us. A little scripture. 1 Corinthians 7:23, you were bought at a price, do not become slaves of men. And then John 8:36, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. A lot of men and women pay the ultimate price for us to have our freedom here in this United States of America. That we can come to church, that if we decide we don't want to go to church, we can go play. We can go to school. We can go to the grocery store. Okay. There's lots of food there. We can go out to eat. But in other countries, you can't do that because they don't have the freedoms that we have. But you know who started this for us? Jesus. Right. Jesus paid the ultimate price for us. He died on the cross to set us free from sin. He paid the ultimate price. So I want you to remember that as we celebrate this weekend, about Memorial Day. And let us remember who paid the price for our freedom, beginning with Jesus. And before you leave, I have a patriotic card for you to take the color. We got a song for this. Come on over, let's sing it. Yeah.
Everybody's going to help us sing the first verse to America the Beautiful, but I want you to remember the third verse, especially today. O beautiful for heroes proved in liberating strife, who more than self their country loved, and mercy more than life. Because this is the memory of all those who fought for us and died for us. So we're going to sing O beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountains' majesty above the fruit of life. America, America. Everybody help us, because they haven't, unfortunately we don't teach things in school either anymore. So we'll have to sing from memory.
Thank you, boys and girls.
people who are not here today are not here because of the holiday. They're here because they heard I was speaking. And I see that I've got more time than Jonathan usually does. I've been known to talk and talk and talk. It's kind of like the fellow that went to church and the preacher got to going on and on, you know, for an hour or two, I'm talking. So the guy gets up and he's going to leave. And the preacher calls him out. Where do you think you're going? He said, I'm going to get a haircut. He said, you should have thought about that before you came to church. He said, I didn't need one before I came. So anyway, I now see why Jonathan takes his coat off. And also, I saw Mr. Paul and Miss Pauline coming in, and I wish I'd have worn my Hawaiian shirt today. It looks good. But anyway, I want to read the scripture first this morning. It's John 3 and 1 through 12. And if you're going to look in your Bible, you might want to put your finger on Luke chapter 10 also. I'll be referring to that a little bit later. Jonathan asked me at the session meeting last week, would I speak today? Well, I had offered before, and I got a lot of sermons. Well, I got a few, but I think you've heard them all. So I had to write a new one. That's always a challenge for an old truck driver. So if you'll bear with me today, maybe God will inspire us all to hear and listen and me to say something that he has for us to say today. Now, there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus. Oh, and let me explain. Sabetta was not here to do the PowerPoint, so it's not up to snuff today either. We'll try to do better next week. I think Jonathan knows how to do it. A man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council, he came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born when they are old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and do you not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still, you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? Let's pray. Father, give us the words that you would have this morning and open our hearts and our minds to receive them. May you be glorified in all that we say in Christ's name. Amen. L.D. Bell and Teresa and I had the privilege to meet with some friends of ours from Kentucky this week. And now, some of you have met Obadiah and Rebecca. They've been here before. And if I were to describe, hello, I don't know. No? That's okay. I'll try to speak up. I've got an outside voice. If you have not met or you do not know Obadiah, then he's a 70-something year old guy, and he competes in Senior Olympics, and he does good. He's still a pretty good athlete, and he helps me with my house, and he's been on several mission trips with me. Theologically, the only thing I can say is he's pretty far out there. So he was talking to us this week, and he mentioned the three-page Bible. Well, I'd heard of this before, but not the same exact one that he told us about. But it got me to thinking, since I had to write a new sermon anyway, I might as well use that. So I'll give Obadiah the credit for the title at least.
I don't know about the content. I'm sure you've all heard of the KISS principle. Keep it simple, stupid. So I'm going to try to keep it real simple today, and I think Jesus did the same thing. Today, life is anything but simple, but it's us that have made it complicated. We say, someday I'll slow down. Someday I'll downsize. I'll sit back and take it easy. That's not going to happen. I didn't know how busy you could get until I retired. Everyday life is complex. Even our gadgets don't make it easier. We have to read and implement detailed instructions from everything from toasters to computers. We sometimes laugh at instructions when they say, don't put your fingers inside the toaster. It may remain hot after toast is removed. Well, duh. But unfortunately, there are people who need those instructions. I have a cousin, and I may have told you some of these stories before. Bless his heart. He is not mechanical at all. And we used to live not too far apart, and he would call me when he had a problem. So he calls one day, and I'm not there, and Nancy answers the phone. He says, I've got a leaky faucet. Can Sam come and help me? She said, he's not here. He won't be back for a while. He says, okay, I'm going to fix it. All right? So he starts to dismantle the faucet. He does not turn the water off. So when he finally gets the little thingy out of there, it's using water up in the ceiling. Now, this is in the 70s, so it's a flocked. Everybody knows what a flocked ceiling is. So it makes a big hole in the ceiling. And then he goes and gets his wife a vacuum cleaner. No, it is not a wet dry. So that probably less than a nickel washer to fix that faucet costs him about $500. Then another time he calls me. Here's where the instructions come in. He calls me about, he's got a curtain. He's bought a curtain for a sliding glass door. Well, you can make those things slide this way, you can make them slide this way, or you can make them open in the middle. So he calls me and he says, I can't get this thing to work. I said, did you read the instructions? Oh, yes. Well, I'll be over there in a little while. So I go over there and he's got it spread out in the floor. And I look at the instructions and I say, which way do you want it to slide? And he says, this way. I said, okay, so I look at number one. It says, take the end off of the right side and discard it. So I took this thing off and threw it over my shoulder. He said, what are you doing? I said, I thought you told me you read the instructions. He said, I did. I said, well, that's number one. That was number one. If you missed number one, you can't possibly get it to work right. So what we're going to do today is we're going to look at the three-page Bible. And we're going to talk about the KISS principle. And we're going to start with the number one instruction. We've got some things up there on the board. Number one, page number one, you must be born again. Now, Nicodemus was a Pharisee, and we know that the Pharisees were watching Jesus closely. They were in the crowds listening to his teachings. Nicodemus must have sensed that there was something different about the way Jesus taught. It may have been the way he was able to relate the things about God to everyday language so that children even could understand. Whatever the reason, he had questions for Jesus. And he needed to ask them privately at night. He didn't want his fellow Pharisees to know that he was really, really interested in Jesus' teaching. So he said to Jesus, we know that you're a teacher sent from God because nobody could do these things that you do. They weren't sent from God. Now, before he gets to ask his first question, we don't even know what Nicodemus' questions were because Jesus starts his answers right off the bat and throws Nicodemus in a quandary because he has no idea Jesus is about to say this. Jesus says, I tell you for certain, before you can enter the kingdom of God, you must be born again. Now Nicodemus is all haywire now. How can I possibly be born again? What in the world are you talking about? So his question was not what he probably wanted to ask. But he had to see what Jesus was trying to tell him. Only God's Spirit can give new life, Jesus said. Nicodemus could have said, well, what about the books of the Bible? What about the law? The Ten Commandments? Jesus said to him, how can you be a leader and a teacher of Israel and not know these things? I can just see Jesus. I can see him right there when Nicodemus starts off with these crazy questions that have nothing to do with anything. And just like God probably does to us every day, Jesus probably did this. I wonder if God cries. I used to sing a song sometimes that was titled, I Wonder If God Cries When We Do The Things We Do. Do love drops fill His eyes because He loves us oh so true? It's almost like we want it to be complicated. I don't know how many years ago, some historians probably know this, but there was a Christian group called the Gnostics. G-N-O-S-T-I-C-S. The Gnostics. Now, they wanted a stairway. They wanted a set of rules, a set of steps, things to do that would get them to heaven. Folks, that ain't it. That ain't it. Think about it. Keep it simple. Stupid. We want a sign. Give me a sign, Lord. I'll do this if you just give me a sign. Jesus said, there's not going to be a sign given except the sign of Jonah. 3 days, belly of the whale, came out alive. Jesus got to spend those 3 days. Now, don't get me talking about the 3 days. That confused people forever. But it's the sign. That's the sign that Jesus gave. The Ten Commandments. Oh, boy. Now, we get what the Pharisees were all about. The Ten Commandments. They expanded the Ten Commandments. They had over 600 rules and regulations just concerning what you could or could not do on the Sabbath. It made it complicated. It's a faith issue. It's a faith issue. We know what's in John chapter 3, don't we? Verse 16. For God so loved the world that He sent His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The KISS spiritual principle is faith. Page 2. I'm 1/3 of the way through. Might get y'all out early today. Might not. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. That comes from the Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 27. I hang out sometimes at the two-way. And there was somebody down there supposedly made this statement. I told my wife, I love you, when we got married. And if anything changes, I'll let you know. Now, I know there are ways to show people that we love them, especially our spouse. But words, conversation, communication is so important. So important. I don't think there's a day goes by that Nancy and I don't say I love you to each other. Most of the time it involves a kiss, too. Almost 44 years. I'm a lucky man. I'm also blessed that I can communicate with God. We need to communicate our love. Love the Lord with everything you got. All that you are, all that you do, all that you think. Praise Him when you wake up, when you go to sleep, when you work, when you play, when you drive, when you buy groceries, when you get a haircut. Everything. All of it. It's the very least we can do for what He's done for us. It's the very least we can do. Now, there was no record back in the 70s called the phone call from God. Anybody ever remember that? Jerry Jordan was the guy's name. Man, he got a phone call. He was watching Johnny Carson. Phone rang. Honey, would you get that, please? Well, she's in the kitchen doing something. Finally, he says, oh, well, I just do it myself. So he answers the phone, and he can't hear the other side of the conversation. You can only hear his. And he says, who? What? But on down in the conversation, he goes to giving God the praise. You know, oh, yes, Lord, I give you the praise. I give you the praise. What? Well, it was a little bit hard to give you the praise when I got my thumb caught in that cabinet door. What did I say? Well, I said, Lord, I did. Oh, you know what I said. It was comical. It was funny. But it had some good theology in it, too. The Lord told him he's going to have to start giving his 10%. He said, well, Lord, if I start giving my 10%, I won't have enough to make payments on my bass boat. And they'll come and get it, and I won't have one. I won't be able to go bass fishing. What do you mean I'm not going to need it down there? So you see, it's a simple thing for God. And He's got the answers. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, everything you are. Nancy read me some excerpts from a book by Fanny Flagg called I Can't Wait to Go to Heaven. I don't know if anybody's ever read that or not. I started reading the whole book. I'm about halfway through the whole book now because it was interesting. Now, this character in the book named Elner, a lady, she has an out-of-body death experience. She goes to heaven and has a face-to-face with God. Boy, don't we want to do that sometimes. If I could just tell God, you know, I'd set Him straight on a few things. That's what Nicodemus thought too, didn't he? And Jesus threw him off his base right off the bat. That's a baseball metaphor, wasn't it? Anyway. A conversation, just like you and I can have, a normal conversation. She asked God, what's the real meaning of life? His first response was, how should I know? But he goes on to tell her. He goes on to tell her. I'm going to repeat this again. It's on down in the last part. God says it's easy. It's kiss. It's simple. Just like 2 and 2 is 4. Kindness and forgiveness is always right. Hate and revenge is always wrong. Taking an old slogan from Nike about loving the Lord 110%. Just do it. Just do it. It's simple. He'll take care of so many things for us if we just turn it over to Him. Let Him have the control. So page 2 was, love the Lord with all you got. Give it 100, give it 200%. Give it everything. Page 3, from the Luke scripture, love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. Uh-oh. Can't we just get by with 1 and 2? No. No, we can't. Now, Jerry Jordan, at the end of his little record, the Lord asked him to love his neighbors, and he said, I'm going to love my neighbors, Lord. Yes, I'm going to start doing it. Even if they ain't no good. So you see, he still had to hold on to that other part, that human part. Oh, we're in a me society. It's all about me. It's a tall order to love your neighbor as yourself. When I'm perfect in every way. There's even a song about that. It's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. That's the me society talking. How about joy? Jesus first, others second, and yourself third. That's joy. That's a priority in your life. That's a joy priority. Luke's gospel said that this man, and it could have been the same guy for all we know, could have been Nicodemus. He's an expert in the law. He knows the books of Moses. He knows the prophets. He knows the Psalms. He's an expert. It says that in the Bible. And yet he had to ask the question. When Jesus said to love your neighbor as yourself, he had to ask the question. Well, who's my neighbor? See, he wants to complicate it. He wants to be inclusive and exclusive. He wants to know who he needs to love more than he loves himself. And then he needs to know who he can discard in his life. Simple. Love them all. Love them all. And we know that the story that follows in this scripture is the Good Samaritan story. And we all know the Good Samaritan story. There were three people who went by. Two of them were leaders in Israel, a priest and a Levite. And one of them was the scourge of the earth, according to the Jews, a Samaritan. Oh, we can't love Samaritans. Oh, no. Do you know who the Samaritans were? Does anybody really know? Well, I'm going to tell you, but anyway. The Samaritans were half-breeds. You see, when the Israelites got taken off into captivity, there was a few that got left behind. You see, mostly when a country invaded another country, they took off all the smart people. They took off all the leaders if they didn't kill them. They took all the people that were the leaders and the smart people. They took them and left. If you were just a poor old dirt farmer, you didn't go captive. I mean, you might have had to scratch in the dirt to get something to eat, but you didn't have to leave your country. And then they would bring in other people that they had conquered to live in the same country. So there were a lot of impurities in the race. Israel, you know, they still want to be a pure race. But they intermarried. And so when the Israelites came back to claim their land, they said, y'all are half-breeds. Go over there and live in Samaria. You can't live in Israel. You're not pure. We're pure. Some of them probably couldn't trace their ancestry back either. But they had the law on their side. Remember the law that they expanded so they could use it? But that's who the Samaritans were. So they were hated people. And the Samaritan was the one that was kind to the guy. So Jesus asked this smart guy now, this smart guy who said, who's my neighbor? Which one of these people was a neighbor to the guy? He said the one, different versions say different things. The one who had mercy on him, the one who showed compassion, the one who cared for him. He loved that person. He was a Samaritan. The guy that got robbed and beaten was a Jew. They weren't supposed to like each other. They weren't supposed to do things for each other. But Jesus said, love them all. Love them all. And then he said to the man, this smart man, who was going to trap Jesus with his questions, go and do the same. Go and do likewise. In the Fanny Flagg book, Eleanor thought she would be judged for a sin. There's another thing that we think about, or that this other man should have thought about when he asked about his neighbors. Are we sinning when we don't do these things? Are we sinning? There's sins of commission, there's sins of omission. Well, Eleanor thought that she was going to be judged because there was a little boy who threw rocks at her cat, actually hit the cat in the head. And she called him up on the porch and gave him some chocolate candy. It was named X-Lax. So she thought she would be judged for this sin. Well, later on in the book, it explains that she befriended this little kid. He was from an abusive family with no mother. Didn't have a chance in life. And yet, she helped him. Even stayed a lot of nights at her house. And he became somebody. A truck driver. But he became something that he probably didn't have a chance to without Elmer. And this is the part where God, where I'm going to repeat the part that God said when she said that she thought she would be punished for doing this to this little boy. God says, no, look at the kindness you did. Look what this boy became. It's easy as 2 + 2 = 4. Kindness and forgiveness is always right. Revenge and hate are always wrong. Now I know there are people we come in contact with that it's hard to love them. It's hard to love them. People hurt us. And most of the time, they don't even know they hurt us. Be kind and forgive. One of my favorite two words is be nice. Be kind and forgive. Hating and seeking revenge is wrong. As we study history in the Bible, it becomes clear to me that the me society has been around a long time. It's part of our human makeup. The Pharisees, they may have created the me society in their day and time because it was all about them. It was all about telling everybody else what to do. And you know, it says in the Bible they're like whitewashed fences. They were the me society of Jesus' time. Jesus came to fulfill the law and the prophets. The Ten Commandments are summed up in those two. The Luke scripture contains a saying, and it's not just in the New Testament, it's also in the Old Testament, that sums up the Ten Commandments. Love the Lord your God. That's the first four commandments. The first four commandments deal with our relationship with God. And love your neighbor as yourself. That's the last six. The last six commandments deal with our relationship to each other. Don't steal, don't cheat, don't lie, don't murder. All of those. Those are the last six. So you see, what this man was smart enough to know that was the KISS principle about the Ten Commandments. That was keeping it simple. You've got all Ten Commandments right there in two little sayings. Don't you sometimes hate little sayings, though? They come and they go. Just like page one, you must be born again. Do we use that as a cliche? I've been born again. I've been dunked. Does that mean I'm any better than anyone else or that I found all the answers? No, it just means some preacher put me under the water. Got to be born again in the spirit. Okay, we talk about all the time. We got mind, body, emotions. We got a soul. But that's not got anything to do with being born in the spirit. It's something we got to make a choice about. It's something we got to have faith in. Making that choice. After we make that choice and the spirit comes, man, you're talking about freedom. The United States ain't got nothing to do with freedom like being born of the Spirit does. Like the old fellow said, I've been born of the Spirit. I can do anything I want to now. I'm free to do anything I want to. That's true. But you see, there's certain things we don't want to do anymore. We're making a choice not to do those other things. We're making a spiritual choice, a faith choice.
three pages. The Bible in three pages. It's really not that simple. But I tell you what, it's like 2 + 2 = 4. It's basic principles that'll get you to heaven. These questions were asked other places in the New Testament. Just not these two instances. There were other places. You remember a soldier asked Paul, what did he need to be? Paul or Peter, one of those two P's. What must I do to be saved? He said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved and your household. Once the head of the household gets born again, the family's got to follow. Because he'll infect them. It's like almost like a disease. He'll infect them. It gets turned on. Keep it simple, stupid. I usually say, when something goes wrong or I do something wrong, or, you know, things turned out pretty good and I didn't get killed, I'll say, thank you, Lord, for taking care of a fool like me. Because we, as human beings, can do some pretty stupid things. The Bible's got a lot more than three pages, but these three pages are pretty good to remember. So, yes, Melanie's coming. She knows I'm about through. About, that's all I'm going to say about that. About done. But it's Pentecost Sunday. It's about the Spirit today. It's about the Spirit coming to the apostles on the day of Pentecost. Flames, tongues of flame came upon them. Don't you want that Spirit? Don't you want that Spirit? Don't you want that to have be part of you? I tell you what, I can't imagine living a different life than what God has given me. I can't even imagine. I really would be stupid if I went back to doing some of the things I did in my younger days. I'm sure you would too. I really, really would be stupid. So let's keep it simple. And let's stand and sing. Spirit of the living God. Let's do it twice.
Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me. Give us some